I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
I feel like my dad is like accidentally like, I know I hate when people use this phrase, but like accidentally the most woke white dude who's ever existed. It's so funny. Like,
I don't
he's
know
just
woke really means.
It's everyone. There's all. There's like 35 buzzwords that we all know about that no one in the real world knows about or gives a fuck about. Like, it's so funny. You see people like on Twitter yelling at each other about all this bullshit, and it's like no one in the real world knows what you're talking about. No one. I literally had to explain to my mother what mansplaining was.
That's
fucking insane. Like, that's, like, the levels of weirdness of that are nuts. But,
did you record that?
No, I just asked her, like, randomly. I was like, hey, you know what this is? And she was like, because I'll do that every once in a while just to gauge actual America. I'll be like, hey, what do you think about this? Or do you know what this is? And she'll just be like, what? No? Like, this is what that is. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, all right, whatever. It's fucking weird. She's an odd woman. But we were, what are you talking about? I work all day, so my brain's on fire.
You mentioned your dad being...
Oh, so he's like, it's funny, because like...
he's woke.
I feel like everyone does this thing where they go home for Thanksgiving, and every white person I know goes on Facebook, and they go like, oh boy, time to have Thanksgiving dinner, listen to old, you know... old Uncle McRacist, you know, whatever, say all this horrible stuff. Ooh, extra wine for me to get through. Like, everyone hates the... like, everyone has this thing where it's like... they want to be the only good white person that has ever existed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're so fucking condescending. Like, what the hell's... how do you think people feel when you say shit like that? Like, it's fucking weird. And so, in my head, I'm like, that never happens when I go home. They're just not like that. So, like, I go home... like, I was talking to someone the other day, and I was like... yeah, my dad, like, it's funny. Like, I've never heard my dad say anything racist, sexist. I've heard him say a racist. I've never heard him say a curse word, to be honest with you. Like, he's just like that. It's just funny. Like, he's, like, the most accidentally decent human. And, like, I never...
you sure it's accidental?
I think so. I think it's just him. It's just weird, man. It's like, I remember when I was in L.A. in February to see my brother and to do some shows. Well, just one show, but... I was out there, and I don't know why, cheesy, hard-boiled dialogue to me is, like, the funniest thing ever. Like, we just filmed this thing, a promo. We do this dumb thing. So for the show that me and Chris run at Spider House, we have this character that someone comes through named Johnny M., and it's just John Mendoza, who's a comedian, and he just has, like, a jacket and glasses. And his bit is that he was a comedian huge in the 90s who stabbed a fan and went to jail. And every time he comes on, we're always like, yep, he's going to be, he's due to be executed tomorrow, but he's, but like, they've let him do one last show, and he always escapes. It's stupid as fuck. But the hard-boiled dialogue we wrote for him for his promo, it's so bad. It's him just, like, staring at a wishing well, and then he just goes, and the voiceover is, what will I say when I meet my maker? And he just looks up to the sky, and then the voiceover goes, is that all you got? I laughed so hard. I was like, that's so fucking dumb. I love shit like that. And so when I was in L.A., I was talking to my brother, and I would just say stuff to him like, hey, you know, they say L.A. is a city of angels, but I've seen my fair share of devils on these mean streets. Like, could you stop doing this?
Just to make you feel cooler, if you put the headphones on, it sounds real legit. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's the stuff.
Oh, yeah. So you feel fancy now. You've been telling stories, and it's been great, but now you know what it's really
about.
Oh,
now it's
going
to go downhill so quick. It's just me being like, well, I don't know if I can say this, but...
You can say whatever you want. I'm really not concerned about somehow anybody hearing something that's bad.
That's what makes
us
the best country in the world.
I just
feel like the headphones make it feel like we're sitting next to each other's souls.
Oh.
like yeah, we're just sitting here, but it's more intimate.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right.
No. You know, a lot of Buddhist philosophers say that human souls are actually in headphones. A lot of people don't know that.
I did hear that. Okay. I did hear that Bose, that's their thing in Asia.
I thought it was photos. You know, like you take a photo of somebody and you get their soul. I
think you're being ridiculous. It's not in photos, they're in headphones. Come on, would you believe this?
I think that was the Romans who thought that.
The and Romans and their many headphones and photos.
Yes.
Back in the 1990s, the Romans.
Yep.
Yeah, a little known.
Wendell! Oh my god!
Oh my god! We just put the headphones on because we were like,
no, that's fine.
Oh,
this whole thing can happen without me. It's fine.
No, we were just chatting and then we were like, well, I guess
saw the
he's...
record sign on.
No, I just turned it on like just 2 seconds ago.
Nice. Wendell just got here. Pat Dean's here. Amy's here. And I'm also here. We didn't do an intro.
We thought you were dead.
Yeah, are you all right? We're concerned about your life.
It's weird how okay? I'm just losing these like dumb materialistic things. I wish I'd gone down with them, you know, like...
No!
It's just a rough day. Like, my nephew is here visiting, and that just sucked all the fun out of the day, because, like, the most I could do is, like, keep my heart rate low. That was it. Like, I just didn't, like, throw a tantrum about it.
How old is your
like,
nephew?
He's 18.
Oh.
Okay.
And his phone got wet in the incident. So, like, he, you know, he suffers as well. But, yeah, I'm just trying not to, like, turn into, like, a supervillain about this right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you made it. We were afraid that perhaps you were anticipating our regular 9 p.m. Start time.
No, yeah. I had to take the bus, and I also had to, like, chill out for a minute. And,
Yeah, definitely. Would you like a water? There's some in the fridge.
Yeah, totally.
There's water. I think there might be one Busch beer if you want to take the last Busch beer.
What was the incident that you're referring to?
I'm just a goofy son of a bitch, and my kayak flipped over, and I had the kayak with all the stuff in it, and lost my glasses, my phone, and my wallet. So yeah.
Also, to be fair, those aren't like bullshit material. Those are pretty like essential.
Yeah, and it's like I'm very blind. I'm so blind, you guys. Like it's
Do you have contacts or are you just winging?
I have like one pair of very old contacts that are already like rubbing my eyes raw right now.
He's blind to clocks, that's why I got here so late.
I'm like jazz singer blind, you know? Like I'm just
jazz singer
blind. Yeah, no, I mean
fuck, I've never heard that before. That's great.
It would impress you to watch me play a musical instrument.
Is what it is. That's why you've never heard of before.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. If I were to like start playing piano, you guys would all be very like blown away right
Man.
Now.
Man,
like, how do you find the keys? It's crazy.
Did you bring a piano with you, maybe, or?
No, but I might bump into one sometime.
There's one right outside.
I assume there is at least one in this building.
I guess one will find you when you're ready.
That shirt's amazing, by the way, Gally.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Like.
Just my work shirt, but you know, I wear it well. It smells like grilled onions and failed dreams.
That's what's such a good smell.
Speaking of grilled onions, is that what's filling out this trail mix?
That's coconut.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
It's coconut.
They look like fingernails. It was like Nosferatu's fingernails.
Feel free to have some M&M's and fingernails. That's what I've put together.
Texture,
for you guys.
All of that. Yeah.
Those are failed dreams.
That's what a failed dream is.
Fingernails, M&M's.
Failed dreams and fingernails.
And, like, carrots that, you know, somebody forgot on the ground.
I don't think those are carrots.
I think those are, like,
I don't know what they are. Apricots? Is that what apricots are?
Papaya?
Papaya, there it is. I think it's papaya.
Sure.
It tastes papaya-esque.
Did it taste like a carrot?
No.
My palate was blinded by the M&M.
I thought you were going to say blinded by your lack
of
glasses.
So it was really hard for me to, like, pull any flavor through that.
I thought he was going to say blinded by the light.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got pencil.
Wrapped up like a deuce. Another run of the night. Very sad. It's a rock and roll song. I'm not a big rock and roll guy. I just listen to different versions of the National Anthem. That's the only thing on my iPod. If you look at it.
Okay.
19 different artists. 19 different national anthems.
You only have 19 tracks on the whole thing.
The whole thing. It's $250. Why did I buy this?
Now, do these 19 artists, do they, like, really bring something different to the table with the national anthem? Do they really change it?
No,
up?
I find that disrespectful when people change it around. So, no, just pretty much the basic thing.
Okay.
Again,
okay,
now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm realizing how bad of a purchase it is. And, you know, nobody's perfect.
I guess I'm just kind of surprised that you got the national anthem with the lyrics in it instead of just the instrumentals.
Yeah, no. Those songs are for cowards.
Okay.
If the words aren't in it, what's the point? That's why a lot of jazz is bullshit. You know? It's like, oh, you can play the trumpet? Big deal. I could do it if I, you know.
But if you were blind, that would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be
great if I was man, I feel like maybe, because I can play jazz bass. So are you saying I should gouge my eyes out and become a blind jazz musician? Because it's been a number of years since I've played
absolutely
jazz.
Absolutely, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, I can play saxophone, but like right now,
what?
With like as a sighted person, that just equates me to Kenny G.
As a sighted American.
Yeah, yes.
That's what.
Yeah, if you were blind, then you'd be a lot cooler.
Yeah, no.
That's what Hillary has to get to win, the sighted American votes and the pescatarians. If she can get the pescatarians on her side, I've said that for years.
Because the pescatarians and the sighted Americans are surely Trump votes.
Look, pescatarians control the media, okay? I'm sorry. Someone has to say it. I'm fucking sick of it. Someone has to be brave enough to stand up to these people. Oh, I eat fish, but nothing else? You're not gonna eat a chicken?
Fish isn't like the cabbage of the sea. It's still a protein.
It's damn near a person.
Arguably so, especially like tuna. Tuna or like.
Let me ask you something.
Dolphin?
Let me ask you something, Amy. Do fish have mothers?
Yes.
Case closed. If you're a pescatarian and you're listening to this, first of all, fuck you. And second of all, I'm on to you. I know your game, and I'm not impressed by it. Delia's not impressed either.
I'm just really saddened that we're losing all of our pescatarian listeners.
No, I'm telling
we'll get
you,
them back.
You don't need these people. You don't need them. Name one, okay, here's a challenge. Name one pescatarian that has ever contributed to the public discourse. You can't. Right.
Does Tillicum from Blackfish count? Because he only eats fish. Tillicum from Blackfish, the orca?
Oh.
That's technically a pescatarian. He only eats fish.
Is that a person?
No,
it's the whale.
It's a whale.
It's the whale.
I think whales can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Well, don't they eat plankton?
I mean, they're as smart as people. No.
I think plankton.
Like, regular whales do.
Orcas. I think that's still make you a pescatarian.
Orcas
yeah.
eat, they eat, like, bait fish and people when they're mad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see that there's a whale that's apparently died and is decomposing off of the Austrian shore, Australian shore, and it looked so crazy that, like, they were like, what the hell is that? And they thought it was some sort of, like, because apparently it collects air and then blows up and flips upside down, so it's like the underbelly of the whale is like large over the ocean, and they were like, what the hell is that thing? And they had to go out and figure it out and be like, it's okay, it's not an alien or some sort of monster coming to get us. It's just a dead whale.
You think
rotting in the ocean.
Like, you think off the coast of Australia, they'd just be like, oh, here's a new thing that's probably going to kill us all the time.
I think that's what they think all the time.
That's just all that ever happens here.
I guess Australia does seem to be a country or a continent that's just filled with things exclusively trying to murder you.
Yeah. I imagine everybody in that, like, township was just out, like, on the shore ready to just fistfight it as it approached the shore.
Well, they're a hardy bunch, those Australians.
Sure.
Russell Crowe. You heard of this guy?
Right.
He evidently is Australian. Who else?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Jackman.
He's Wolverine.
Yeah, he is manly as all get out.
He's jacked.
Speaking of manly, Nicole Kidman. That's another. And Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Manly.
Country musician, superstar.
Okay. I was thinking of Carl Urban. Who knows? Maybe he's Australian.
Who's Carl Urban?
He's an actor.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
He's in Star Trek, I don't know what else. I know he's been in other
Is that Data?
I was like, I'll be honest, I don't know who Star Trek is either.
He's in the new Star Trek.
Oh, Carl Urban.
He plays a doctor character.
Oh, okay. Judge Dredd.
Jaws. Yeah, Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I know him from. Magoo. And you never see his face because he keeps the mask on, so I don't know what he looks like.
But this is the important part of his face. Is
his mouth?
Nose down. Yeah. I mean,
he
kind
of looks like Matt LeBlanc, but younger to me.
Fuck, can we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I think we can.
Carl, all right, Carl. I'm not technically a member of the podcast, but I'm extending an invitation. If you want to come on, you know.
Carl Urban, give us a call.
Give us a call, please.
We'll talk about that failed iRobot series he had on Fox there for a second.
We can talk about it if you want.
Earlier we were talking about scary movies and scary books and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this one on Netflix, and it was called... What the fuck is it called? Listen, or it's about
a
deaf girl.
Or?
Nope, it's just a horror movie about a deaf girl who gets some guy comes to her house to try to attack her.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a relatively newer one. I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, sorry, listeners who are all going like, that's what the fucking name is. Anyway,
well, sorry we're not all as smart as you guys. Sorry we're not all fucking perfect sitting in your ivory tower judging Amy and Pat Dean.
When I saw the
how dare you?
When I saw this movie, the guy wears a mask halfway through. Like, you're talking about that guy who wears a mask, so you're like, oh, I don't know what he looked like. I would have been happier in this movie if the guy had kept his mask on, but halfway through the movie the character decides to take the mask off. I don't know why, just because he wants to be a dick or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But he's the actor who plays the horror film guy is a guy that I've definitely seen in like some sort of teen drama, like, you know, like The OC or something like that. I have no idea what I saw him in, but his face was so, like, fresh-faced OC kid that as soon as he took the mask off, I was like, well, I'm no longer afraid. I've stopped being afraid.
We were kind of like, this fucking guy.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, go ahead.
You
go ahead and try to murder me.
That almost happened in the movie 7.
Huh.
Because a lot of people don't remember this, is that Kevin Spacey wasn't billed in that movie. No one knew he was in that movie until you went to go see it. This is before the internet, where everyone knew everything.
Right.
So you're just watching this movie, then halfway through, fucking Kevin Spacey shows up. You're like, what is this all about? Oh, you're the bad guy. Oh, crazy, Kevin Spacey.
That's
a weird
though.
Thing. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I feel like it worked pretty well for 7, though.
Was that before or after? Was he in Usual Suspects before that or after?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that was way
probably
before.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, because he was like the main asshole in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you've never seen it.
But like you've never seen which one?
Usual Suspects.
You've seriously never seen Luke?
It's been ruined for me. I was like a child when it came out, and I know how it ends.
It's not like we're talking about now where he's wearing a mask and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's the guy. No, he's talking throughout the entire thing. So like you meet the character throughout the whole
situation.
Oh, he
does talk.
And like when they were shooting it, like all the actors thought they were Kaiser Soze. So, like, they all act it thinking that they technically will be.
Well, that's an interesting detail I didn't know about it.
It's fun to, like, go back and see that because literally they all kind of, like, act with this sort of smugness.
Oh, like the director, like, secretly told them all, like, you're the one, you're the one. And then they, like, acted like they were real bad. Oh, that's super fun.
Let me ask you.
I like that. That's fun.
You lying to me right now?
No.
No, I'm not. You looking me in the face and you're lying to me?
No.
A guest on your program?
Like, I would just.
This is how you treat the guests.
I should just do that. That would
just
be fun to just come up with like facts that sound like they probably are true. You know?
I feel like most people do that, so who gives a shit? Sometimes I think that I've listened to our past episodes sometimes, and we are like having a discussion where we are sure that something is true. And then I like Google the thing that we're talking about, and we're so wrong, and I love it. I love those. No, I'd actually prefer you be wrong. Like, go ahead, tell us something totally insane.
That's really, that happened on our way to New Orleans. We were talking about some, like, Facebook status that we saw, and we all remembered it differently, and we all remembered it incorrectly. And we were in, like, a 20-minute conversation before I decided, no, I'm going to see what it is. We were all wrong. We were all terribly, terribly wrong.
This is how history happens, guys. This is how the news happens. That story is an example of everything. Every bit of information you've ever heard is some asshole who's drunk telling you a story.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, we weren't drunk.
Well, not yet.
Why not?
You're going to New Orleans.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, this is...
In the car? Yeah.
Again, you're going to New Orleans.
I was
going
to say, how did, like... Yeah, why were you not pre-gaming on the road?
Why weren't you just pre-game on the road, bro?
I wanted to make it back...
Why?
Why?
Are you driving?
I don't know. For this podcast.
Would you need to get to church? What is that? Okay.
Unbelievable.
So Pat, usually when we get guests in, I mean, entertaining guests like you, we generally just chat and figure out what's going on.
Yikes.
But since you are new to us and we are kind of new to you, I figured I would tell you sort of what we talk about. Like, the idea of the podcast is just about people who do comedy or performance, like, in their life, and then, like, what that means to them, like, how they plan on doing it.
Well, you know, I will say, when I was driving over here, I was like, I should probably listen to this podcast to kind of get a feel of what it is.
Sure.
So I put one on. It was my friend, who is a tortured soul, named Lisa.
Oh,
in the
good.
First 5 minutes of your podcast, are you guys
no,
talking about me?
No, she's immediately talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
I got a bone to
so
pick with you
bad.
Three. What the H? What yeah. the H? What kind of pot?
It was all, like, super positive, too,
I'm
but I was
sure.
Like,
no, that's why
that
I was
would
so
also
weird
be annoying, yeah.
So I was just driving, I was like, what the fuck kind of show is this? It's just three people talking about me the whole time. And then you moved on from me, and, you know, I kind of lost interest. But the first 5 minutes, it's... Yeah, I can do a pretty good impression of Lisa Friedrich, if you guys want to hear it.
I would love to.
Yes, sure.
Real quick, for people new to the podcast, if you haven't listened to it, go back to this episode with Lisa. Listen to a couple minutes of that, and then now come back to it, and now you'll hear my impression. So we'll pause for a moment, and you're back. So here's my Lisa Friedrich impression. Here we go. My emotions! Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's how a lot of people are, you know? They want to talk about their emotions. I wasn't going to ask you about your emotions or anything. Don't worry.
I have one, and it's just anger.
It's just anger? Good. See, that's why I'm so surprised you're not also from Boston.
Where are you from, Pat?
Northern Virginia.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a East Coaster myself.
From where?
South Carolina.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I went to Norfolk a lot. My brother was in the Navy, so I would go up there.
Yeah,
and, try and figure out what the hell was going on.
Norfolk is not the place to do that. Not a good place. Norfolk, Virginia, there's a naval yard. Naval yard?
Whatever
you want to say.
Yeah, there's pink flamingos.
There's pink flamingos. There's, you know, ships. And there's some disturbed individuals that come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly violent place. And and it's funny, too, because, like, the town around it, not a huge fan of the Navy because, like, the sailors come back and they just go kind of act buck wild all throughout the city, so there's a lot of cops and there's a lot of, like, DUIs and stuff. And then you walk around, like, the street of, like, downtown Norfolk, and they have signs, no cursing out loud. Like, it's literally, they have, like...
They have that in Virginia Beach, too.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. In Virginia Beach on the boardwalk, they have what you're talking about, the no cursing signs. You can tell that's what the sign is for, because they'll have, like, a hashtag...
Like an ampersand.
Just the classic... cursing censor thing,
like a cartoon,
and then they do like a line through, like they're the Ghostbusters or whatever. It's very strange. I don't even know how. What would you do?
Like, who's enforcing it? You know, like, who's the
right.
the librarians?
Who's the
I don't
curse
know.
Word cop.
Fucking weird, right? The curse word cop. Remember? Yeah, my dad spent 20 years in the force, so I joined him, and now I tell teenagers not to say shit. Oh, great.
Well, I mean, if it was a town with a bunch of sailors, isn't the, like, common idea of, like, sailors that sailors have dirty mouths?
That's a very good point.
So maybe, like, that's what
You know, I take
happened.
It all back. You guys are doing a great job. Continue.
That was like, the first step.
I take it all back.
Like, the second the town started to get tired of the sailors, they were like, well, let's just make it a cuss-free zone, and they'll have to take it up the coast or something.
As if they walk
take
in
the
and
coast.
They, like, see the sign, and they're like, oh, well, if I can't swear, I'm getting out of here.
I'm taking my fucks up to New York City.
New York City!
We're gonna go to New York City! That's every time I ever say the phrase New York City. It's New York City!
That's how sailors say it, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Virginia. Yeah. When I grew up in Boston, as has been indicated, but I always felt like Virginia was part of the North. But then later in my life, moving down here to the old South, have had people tell me, "Oh no, Virginia's the South." Your thoughts?
Well, Virginia is underneath the Mason-Dixon line, so Virginia is technically in the South. No, Virginia is the South. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Where I grew up in the northern part of Virginia, and it's a very different culture and environment up there. It's like a DC suburb, basically. Hmm. So it's it's way different from the rest of it. The rest of it's fine. I'm not trying to make fun of it or anything, but it's sure. just very different.
Yeah.
So right above Virginia is Maryland and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's Maryland is Delaware. Where the north starts, I think.
As Maryland far as, like, and Delaware are officially part of New England, which is, I believe, why we're always like, yeah, but Virginia's part of it, too.
It's weird, yes, because Virginia is on the East Coast, but so...
Yeah.
So I don't even know, man. That's part of the reason why I left is that I was like, there's no identity here. There's no, like...
It's a weird transitionary kind of, like, part of the East Coast where it's like...
real weird, man.
Yeah, like, the accents change, like, dramatically from, like, the bottom of Virginia to the top of it. And, yeah...
People from all over America moved to Northern Virginia to work in D.C.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, my parents aren't from there. Most of my friends' parents aren't from there. They moved there. And that's why we don't really have Southern accents. We just kind of sound, you know, handsome. Why does everyone always laugh when I talk about being handsome?
Did you start comedy or performing when you were in Virginia, or did you do that? Tell us about your first experience.
I played music my whole life. You know, when I was not my whole life, but when I was 12, I started playing the bass guitar, and I wanted to be a jazz musician.
Hey.
For a number of years. So I played jazz pretty intensively, actually, in high school and stuff. Like, I played in, like, we'd play gigs every once in a while. Not a lot, but every once in a while. And then I kind of plateaued with it, and I was like, I don't know if this is a thing I want to, like, try to do.
Stand-up bass.
No, bass guitar. Okay, I can play a stand-up bass, but not as well as I can play. Yeah. I mean, I can't play bass guitar that well anymore.
Right.
Which kind of bums me out, man. Like, the other day I was listening to a recording we had made of my high school jazz band playing a concert, and I was playing, and I was like, man, you were kind of good back then. You kind of had it a little bit. So I did that, and then I started playing the banjo, and I was in a band with my mom when I was like 23, I think. And we did two different types of performance. My mother is a children's musician. In Northern Virginia, she teaches a class called Music Together. It's like a world. It's like a nationwide thing. It might be a worldwide thing. I really don't know. But it's for very small children. And so we played in two bands. We played in a traditional Irish music group. We play Irish songs and reels and fiddle tunes and stuff. And then we were in a children's music group together. We played children's music, and we were called the Silly Goose Good Time Family Band. And we would play at, like, preschools, and we'd play at, like, restaurants and stuff like that. And it was funny because we'd sometimes play Irish pubs that, like, were, like, full restaurants. And my mom has a very large email list because she's been doing children's music, you know, for, you know, 20 years almost at this point. So she would send these things out, like, hey, we're going to be playing Irish music at this pub if everybody wants to come out to it. And, like, all these, like, families, like these moms and dads and their small kids would come out to watch us play, and I could tell the bar staff were like, what the fuck is going on? Why are all these kids at this bar? Who are these guys? Who's that handsome devil slapping the old banjo? What's his story? How can we find out more about him? I said, in about 10 years, I'm going to be on a podcast. Check it out. You'll find out everything you need. They're like, what's a podcast? Because, you know, it was before technology was around. Yeah. But I always had a performance background, like music and stuff like that. And then in college, I did stand-up for like 2 years, but it was very off and on. It really wasn't a consistent thing. So I stopped doing it for a number of years and started doing it here about 4 years ago. So, yeah.
Where'd you go to college? UT or?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Oh, right on. And then you moved to Austin after college?
Yeah, so I was in college there, and then I moved back home, and like I wasn't really doing anything. I was working at a bookstore, and I would teach music, and I would substitute teach and shit like that. I wasn't really doing anything.
Sure.
And then my buddy James, you guys all know James.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Old Jimbo.
But old Jimmy Two Shoes, we call him. Old Jimmy Dos Zapatos, if you viva La Raza. But he was moving here to go to school, so I was like, yeah, fuck it. We just moved together, along with my friend Ben Sholok, who's a comedian.
Oh.
Yeah, he's troubled. Troubled young man. He's got a lot of personal issues, that guy.
Hope you're doing all right, Ben.
I hope you're not.
He was there the first and only time I ever did an open mic.
Was he mean to you?
No, he was really nice.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he saw it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, so that's the only time you've ever done stand-up?
Yes.
Well.
It was at Beerland, hosted by Chris Cubis.
Oh, geez, yeah.
He's great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a heck of an open mic to do as your one and only.
That's funny, yeah, to have, like, the most successful comedian down bring you on stage. That's fucking funny.
Right? I was so nervous.
Well, you should have been.
I don't even know if he laughed. I asked my friend who went with me if he laughed, and she said, I think he chuckled. I was like...
He laughs a lot.
You can hear Cubis's laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but that's the thing. Like, I was so nervous. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And I was just, I didn't even move, take the mic off or, and I was just, and then I like was like, okay, bye.
Had you, at this point, had you done any comedy ever?
Not too much. Not very much. It was,
Was it before improv classes?
No, I think I was maybe in level 2, so maybe I had done one comedy thing.
Do you remember any of your jokes, and can I hear them?
Adam Waitman wrote me 2 of the 5 I told.
Okay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I came out there saying, hello, my name is Delia.
Classic.
I'm Mexican. You probably can't tell because of my glasses.
That's kind of funny.
I thought it was really funny, and so I felt terrible if anybody laughed. But I don't know if anybody did.
I like that you feel bad that they laugh.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I, well, you know, never mind, actually. I just realized the story is really weird, but keep going, sorry. No, I'll tell you when we're not recording here.
Uh-oh.
What was one of the Adam jokes?
That was one of the Adam jokes.
Oh.
That was the one that he came up with. Yeah. And then I think it was, I had an OK Cupid joke.
Okay.
It was,
More like OK Stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
This guy.
You get it? Because everyone's laughing at my OK Cupid joke. I just figured you get it. Okay, no, whatever, you know, that's fine.
That should have been my joke. Mine was so dumb.
What was it?
It was, I don't remember exactly the wording for it, but it was something like, I was on OK Cupid the other day, and I saw this guy, and he had, like, 5 profile pictures. 3 of them were of this, like, 5-year-old, and 2 of them were this 5-year-old and this older man. So I went, I went to the coffee shop we were meeting up at, and this middle-aged man shows up. I was really bummed out, because I really wanted to fuck that 5-year-old.
These are pretty funny!
Yeah, totally. I'm sure
so horrifying.
I'm sure Chris Cubis was... dying in the back.
He's in the back like, this is some quality comedy.
I'm sure he was actually dying on a physical level because, you know, the man is not well.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's...
Oh, good Lord.
That's fine.
Yep.
The gin and tonic just keeps
going. You don't have any interest in doing stand-up again, or you just want to try it, or...
I'd probably...
Did Ben Sholok run you out? Because the guy's, yeah, got some serious issues.
Yeah, he, his words of wisdom were, don't do that again, and then he kicked me on my way out.
Well, you know, he's a kicker. I've always said that about him. I'm always interested when people who have an improv background, like, do stand-up. It's interesting to me. I'm just, like, wondering, like, what...
So, have you just done stand-up? Yeah. You haven't done any...
No.
But you were also in...
Well, I was gonna say, when you and your mom were doing music together, did you guys have any, like, at least scripted bits where you guys would have like a banter or anything back and forth? Like, hey Ma, guess what I saw today? You know, like, I was walking down the street and I saw a squirrel, and it like segued into whatever like squirrel song you guys were gonna do.
No, we didn't do that. My mom was the front lady, and I would play guitar and play banjo and stuff, and she would sing and she would entertain the crowds. So, no, we didn't have much banter. Really? I have made my mom do stand up twice.
Oh.
She's been visiting, and it's a horrible bit, but what I do is whenever she visits is I make her go to open mic with me. We did this at the New Movement, and we did it at Cap City the last time she was in town, and the whole bit is I go on stage, and I go, hey, you know, the hardest part about doing stand-up is your first time on stage, so, you know, I'm actually going to guide our next comedian through their jokes, so please help me welcome to stage my mother, Maddie O'Neill Dean. Mm-hmm. She comes on stage, and I have, like, note cards with the setup on the front and the punchline on the back. And they're all, like, the worst jokes you've ever heard. And what my mom does is she'll read the setup, okay, say the setup into the microphone, turn the card over, read the punchline, start laughing, and then say the punchline. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. I'm trying to remember what the jokes were.
God.
I'm trying to remember what the joke. They're terrible. It was
Does she
like
get that she's doing a bit? Like,
yeah, she knows that
thing?
Like, yeah, she knows that oh, it's weird. His, you know, someone's mom is doing stand-up with her son. That's terrible. Like, she knows the joke's not really on her. It's more on me, because I also keep insisting that I didn't write the jokes, that she wrote the jokes. And then half the jokes are her making fun of me. So I'm kind of like, well, what the hell? I'm trying to remember. Like, what do you call a high school dropout who's afraid and unloved?
What?
My son, Pat Dean. And then sometimes the jokes about me are, like, too mean, and she feels bad, so she won't say them. So then I'm like, no, well, you have to say the punchline. She's like, I'm not going to say that punchline, because it's just, like, something mean about me. So.
Does she, like, pass the joke around so other people can read it?
No, she just says I'm not going to read it. And I'm like, well, it was just the N-word over and over and over again. That's why I shouldn't say it. So, folks,
be
on my
so
mom's
funny.
Like, yeah, she's a dope. Fucking crazy.
I actually did stand up for about 2.5 years before I moved to Austin. And then when I got to Austin, improv was just what was there for me to do.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first thing that somebody was like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, yep, sure, let's do it. And then got myself into it. But I haven't gone back to stand up since then. I don't know. I was telling somebody the other day that when I lived in New York, I was just sort of friends with everybody that went to the open mics, so I didn't do a lot of joke writing or hard work. I just went up and everyone was delighted to see me, so it would just, like, work out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to do much in the way of work. They handed me a microphone, and then I was like, what's up, everybody? And then I just chatted with everybody.
Whoa.
But as if the whole room was just my friends at my house.
Oh, okay.
And I'd do that for 6 minutes or however long I got, and then that'd be it. So,
well, that's kind of the goal for some people.
Yeah, I guess.
To make it be like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like people who do that, like Mark Maron, who, like, just sits and chats with the whole 300 people or whatever that's sitting there with him. But I don't know if I could continue to do that, especially not now that I've done so much work in, like, scripted stuff, like in sketch and writing jokes and stuff like that. Now my brain is too, like, set up punchline.
Huh.
That's like the confidence, like, Dean Martin, but, like, actually having the, like, friends there. I feel like Dean Martin always, like, talked to his crowd like everybody was buddies, and we were in on some kind of joke.
Well, you know, drunk half the time. So.
No, yeah.
So I've thought about that as a way to get back into stand-up, is, like, just to go to an open mic where I don't know anyone, but to act like we're all just totally friends. Like the whole room could be a bunch of people that I've never met before, but I'm like, what's up, guys, right? I can't believe it. And then, like, whatever, just jump into the middle of whatever.
Sick. I can't believe it. It's very funny. Right? I can't believe it. That's very funny.
I'm up on stage.
It seems like the improv world seems a lot nicer.
Sure.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people we've had in here have, with the exception, I guess, like, Lisa and Nathan do stand up. But you do, like, a lot of stand up. So, how does that look to you? Just, like, way nicer? Like, is it almost, like, standoffishly nice?
No, it's not standoffishly nice. I'm sort of standoff-ish with people I don't know very well, so a lot, like, I just kind of, like, look. I don't know, like, there's a lot of stuff I don't get. So, like, you go there. I'm in the green room, the old New Movement Theater. Like, the warm-up things, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what, like, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything, mm-hmm. but it has to exist for a reason. Like, there's, like, I look at it, and, like, I'm kind of like, there's one where it's just, like a group of, let's say there's four of us,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, all right, now you say a food, the next person says a city, the next person says a body part, the next person says a number. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? I'm sure it has to serve a purpose, because if it doesn't, my head's gonna explode. But it's like, just stuff like that.
Some of it doesn't.
Huh?
Some of it has a purpose, and some of it, the purpose is just to throw you off your game.
My friend put on Facebook some, like, entry to some improv startup, and it was called, like, Suck My Dick or something like that. And she wrote, like, you know, I thought this was gonna be offensive, but it actually seems like a pretty good idea. And I was like, what? I didn't click on it, but I was like, what could this possibly be? So it seems strange to me, not necessarily in a shitty way, just in a way where it's like, I wonder what that is and who came up with it.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of the, like, improv exercises are all about, like, making you think in different ways, or like making your brain go in a direction that isn't, like, sort of the main path traveled or whatever. And it's like, that doesn't really apply to stand up, because, like, why would you try and throw yourself off before you go up on stage and like,
I do that.
Do your bit. Yeah. You just like go like read really sad novels and like.
No, I sometimes, especially if it's an, well, it depends. If it's a long set, sometimes I'll be like, okay, what's like, how do I back myself into a corner for the first like 5 minutes of this? So no, I do that.
Like make them like make the audience hate you.
Not necessarily. Well, no, not necessarily. Just like, it's hard to explain.
Okay.
Just like how can I like try to seemingly sabotage this, but have a way to get out of that?
Okay.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The last one of the last open mics I did this whole thing where I spent the first like 10 minutes of my time just trying to justify cockfighting. To come off to the roundabout joke.
Yeah.
Like, to the roundabout joke that, like, I only liked playing Pokemon Go. That was the only Japanese RPG, and it's because my family has got, like, a cockfighting history. And I just have this whole, like, animal pugilism to draw.
Animal pugilism.
Yeah, so I just, like, spent a whole time just being like, chickens are dumb, guys. Who cares, right? I mean, it's not, you know, like, they don't feel things. And then it was just to, like, explain why I don't like Final Fantasy, but I like playing Pokemon.
Yeah, it's just a totally different world.
I like losing the crowd, though.
You have to lose the crowd.
Yeah, it's so fun, because nobody was in.
There's two main differences, in my opinion. Well, one is the most obvious one. One is you're alone versus with a group.
Yeah.
So the dynamic of that is different because you have to create comedy. Like, if you're by yourself creating comedy, even if you don't write anything and you're just, quote, improvising what you're saying in your stand-up act, then you're just making up, you're just saying whatever comes out of your mouth, right? But in improv, you have four other people potentially that you are, or more, that you have to talk to, and you all have to be on the same page. So a lot of what improv is are techniques to get everyone to be able to communicate with one another without directly saying things like, you're my mother and you're mad at me because I want to go to the dance. Instead, you have to like say words that kind of sound like that, and then you build it together so that it's not just one person's ideas, it's a bunch of people's ideas.
Yeah.
The other thing that's different about it is that the idea of stand-up acknowledges and rather enlivens the idea of the competition. There is 100% competition if you want to be a comedian, right? Yeah. You're competing for stage time. You're competing for, like, the audience's interest. You are competing for lots of things. In improv, we choose to, like, ignore the fact that we're in competition with one another as actors and instead try to build the thing together. And so the act of not acknowledging the competition leads to there being sort of some would say, like, annoyingly pleasant connective tissue between the people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I guess. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because I guess if there's like five people on stage doing improv, conceivably all five people are like, how can I be the funniest person?
Right, but and you're the whole idea is you're not supposed to try to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to be the best five, not the best individual, the best five. And the only way to be the best five is to make sure everybody looks good, not just you.
Hmm. Yeah, because,
which, like, is weird.
An audience hates watching just a bunch of people trying to, like, out-funny each other for, like, 20 minutes, you know, or, as opposed to, like, putting something together. Like, you know, like a team. It's,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's coming to the point of, like, at the end you just want them to go, oh, hey, all right, cool, that could have been written down. And that's, you know, that's sort of your end game.
Yeah, and also, most stand-ups are shitheads. Just the worst people. Fucking leather jacket. Oh, I'm like Bill Hicks. Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh, I've rolled a cigarette myself. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, every comedian, whether they're a stand-up or an improviser or a sketch comedian, all has to work with a bunch of different people. So everybody has to figure out how to collaborate in their own way. It's just different ways through it. Some people, I feel like stand-up is more like, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
And improv has a lot to do with, like, I don't know, hiding within the crowd. Because it's like, I want to say, look at me, but I'm like, it's cool, look at these five people I'm going to put in front of you that I'm a team with.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Weird.
Sort of like hiding within the crowd.
You know, I was just taking a sip of beer, and it just reminded me, I had my first spit take in June.
Did you?
Yeah, I was in Denver, Colorado.
Huh.
Your first like organic spit take.
Yeah,
like,
I was there in town for the Crom Festival they have there, and I was doing a show that wasn't part of that festival, it was just a show leading up to it, and this guy was drinking a beer, and I guess that was so funny, he did the whole thing. He got the biggest pop I've ever gotten, ever, in stand-up. It was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Huh.
Because I said, wow. I think I asked the crowd if anyone had 40 bucks that I could just borrow, and he went, and then everyone just started losing their mind. It was like, within the first 2 minutes of the set, so I was like, should I just go? Like, how do you pop that? You just spit cake!
Yeah.
You spit it out! Out of his mouth like a fucking animal! What do we do now?
And it sucks because that kind of like, all of a sudden that's the funny thing everybody's laughing at too, you know? Yeah. It's like,
yep.
How dare you, Veer?
How dare you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's me time.
That's another interesting thing about improv too, though, is that a stand-up, right, writes down a set, has a plan, exists within some sort of framework, right? Whereas in improv, you go with the funniest thing. If somebody spit-taked in the first, like, minute of an improv scene, then we would want to see them spit-take again and again.
Huh.
So that we can fulfill the sort of feeling of what is the joke. Versus, like if anything else was funny, if the audience fucking loved that spit-take, well, that's what we're gonna follow. Hmm. It doesn't matter what plot line we've developed, we're going to go spit take after spit take just to maintain the... We'll give them what they want directly.
I'm so bad at planning sets.
Interesting.
I'm horrific at it. Like, if it's like a long set, if it's like 30 minutes, then I have to like write shit down and plan it out.
Mm-hmm.
But anything less than that, no, fuck it. Never plan anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like figure out your jokes in open mics? Like just talk and then whatever seems to hit you write down I'll say that again.
My fucking open mic, it's just throwing shit at a wall and like it works 20% of it's just when I do open mics, man, and I'm trying out, when I bomb fucking off the charts. You can't bomb like I bomb, all right? It's fucking bad. It's not good. Yeah. That's what bad means.
Yeah.
Oof. So yeah, open mics I try to have more of a plan for, but the meal goes off the rails. Oh God. I love open mics, and I go to a ton of them. I fucking do it, and I hate it, but I fucking love it at the same time. Like, there's sometimes when I'm just on stage at an open mic, and I'm just like, this is just not going the way I thought it was. I cannot tell you the number of times I've written something, but like, I can't fucking wait to tell this joke in front of people. They're gonna carry me on their shoulders and fucking suck my dick at the same time. And then you go up and you say it, and then it was just like, why are you saying that? not even just like no one's laughing. Just like, what? Who told you to do that? Is someone making you do this? Because you're horrible at it. You know, it's like this crazy fucking thing. But then while that's happening, you're like, fuck, this is bad. And then party was like, yeah, that's kind of funny though, like, because you know you're gonna get off stage and one of your friends is gonna be like, fuck you, dude, like, you thought that was, you suck. It sucks, man, but I love it.
So that's,
in a weird way,
that's really interesting.
Well, I'm a very interesting person.
Agreed. Also, yeah, that your friends will tell you that you suck afterwards.
Oh yeah,
I feel like that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen in the improv world.
Oh, really? So,
you know,
they're just like, hey, I think the most is like you can tell, but it's still just so supportive of like, you did it.
You're there and with you, like a blanket and a wheelchair.
And then you kind of just, I kind of just don't say anything, or I'll just say something kind of blank. Okay. Because it's like, yeah, like everybody has to suck sometimes. You can't be great all, I mean, some people can be great all the time, but I don't expect everyone to be great all the time, so sometimes people have a rough show and I don't know what to tell them, so then I just walk away.
I hope that's exactly what you say every time you feel like somebody had a rough show. You just get like, you just keep saying stuff and it's like, but you know, tomorrow is gonna be a better day and goes right before the dawn, and you know, like,
or they think they had a great set and like, hey, tomorrow you can only go uphill from here, and they're like, what the fuck? This
my is my favorite best. My favorite thing in the world to do is if my friends on stage, they're just fucking killing. They're just destroying, and they get off stage and they walk past you and you just go, hey man, you get them next time. Like, fuck! Because they know what I'm doing, but also that starts the thing where it's like, well, fuck, but like, honestly, like, was it actually good? I mean, like I'm getting laughs, but like, what kind of laughs are you trying to get? Like, just fucking bullshit. God, I love it.
Yeah, it's fun playing with the insecurities
so
of like,
yell at people
like
no
comedians
reason.
Or performers. Like, I had this thing for a long time where like, with Yousef, when I would do, like, block party and he would introduce me, he would always just be really nice and, like, complimentary. He'd be like, my best friend, the funniest dude in the world, blah. Yeah. And then I get up there and be like, Yousef fucking hates me, guys. I don't know, like, Yousef literally just did this when all you guys were looking at me. And I'm just like...
What's his reaction to that?
Well, the thing is like, he texted me while I was doing my set, and I saw it after, and he was like, you know I don't hate you, right?
Aww.
That rules.
And I was just like, I did it just as an offhanded thing, and because, like, me and Yousef, when we first met, didn't get along, but then just over the time we were just like, oh no, we're both just not threatening one another at all, so, like, you know, like we're both just rocking just the least, most vulnerable, you know, kind of defaults here, and like, got along really well, but, like, I don't know, I just jumped on, like, him just kind of not liking me when we first met, and that's why.
Why didn't you like him?
Because
he's black?
No, he didn't like me because... The first time I met him, he was going through a straight edge thing. He was going through, like, a straight edge phase.
Yeah.
And...
Like, not drinking?
Yeah, and, like, X's on his hands and
everything. And you're just fucking pounding brews?
Yeah, no, I was, like, tying off. Doing chicks? And, like, yeah, plugging jinkum or whatever you do.
Plugging what?
Plugging jinkum? Is that what the kids are calling sex these days?
Gross.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I was just plugging jankum.
Whoa.
It sounds like you opened up a cult and convinced everyone to commit a mass suicide.
Yeah. Is that what you did?
It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. And you said
all kinds of stuff.
And you said
the racism, the nonstop sexual appetite, the fucking, what's the third thing? The cult thing?
Yeah.
What is that?
Wendell is
showing
crazy.
A plate! That's the most unforgivable thing.
And Yousef's just over there with a Coke Zero, like, no, sir. I don't approve of any of this.
That's funny.
I'm just like, hey, man.
That's so funny.
Why don't you unzip that hoodie? Come hang out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I am.
Fuck, yeah.
I met Yousef when I taught him improv.
Oh, he took improv?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know that.
He took, like, two or three levels.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he started hanging out.
Yeah.
And I met him at the theater. That's how I know most of the stand-ups is they've crossed over. You just happen to be entertaining, and also, like, I liked saying hello to you every time I see you because I could tell it makes you a little uncomfortable, so I just do it every time. And then I got more and more effusive about, like, how excited I was to see
well,
you.
Well, that's what makes you uncomfortable.
I know, but that's great.
It's you saying nice
like,
things.
Like, oh my God, you're so great. And then you'll go like, hee, hee, and you slink off, and I love it.
Irish Catholic. We don't take compliments well.
I hear you.
We're not good.
I love coming up and saying hey to you because I just feel like, I don't know, because it's like, it's the first time every time. You know what I mean, Pat? You know? It's literally just like, yeah, thanks for the support, or whatever. And
what are you talking about?
And then you slap a bumper sticker on me, and I just keep going. You know,
that's
it's
so
Pat
good.
Doing bumper stickers.
Yeah, I got one of those once. I had seen you, and I think you were yelling. You were real angry in your set. And then afterwards, I said hello to you, and it was the nicest sounding hi I had ever received. And I was just, oh, hey. I was like, that freaked me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you want him to yell at you?
I didn't expect him to do anything. So I think I was surprised that you also said, like a greeting, but then that it was, that it was so friendly.
Well, yeah. They call me Mr. Friendship. You know that?
Mr. what?
Friendship. So what's why are you laughing? They call me that.
Who calls you that?
People. They.
They.
Those people.
You're like the Ernest Hemingway of Austin comedians.
Right. I'm a lot so. Like, yeah, in the sense that we're both going to fucking blow our brains out one day. But, you know, Hemingway, you know, is my biggest influence. You know, I just say that and beating it. What an asshole. What a piece of shit.
It's come up and make really bad God. Eye contact with the crowd for the first 3 minutes of
Jesus
the
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Do you have a, like a, I know that the Ernest Hemingway is my influence was a joke, but
yeah.
Is there like a comedian or like an actor or any musician or somebody who you consider like an actual influence?
I like Patton Oswalt a lot and Jim Norton a lot and Neil Hamburger a lot.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Do you emulate them in your own work?
I try not to. I'm sure I do. If we're being honest.
You're trying to do your own thing.
Yeah.
You're not trying to emulate it.
I'm trying to be the best me that I can be.
Yeah, I hear ya.
You know, and it's not going well. Back to Lisa. Lisa, you're a fucking mess. No.
So, so we have a short period of time left. We're going to wrap it up pretty soon, but I wanted to ask you, is comedy for you a part-time hobby, or is it your full-time lifestyle? Like, are you going to continue doing this forever until somebody puts you in a grave, or are you going to like in a few years become a bank manager?
Oh, no. No, yeah, though that's a life thing. I mean, I think at this point it's impossible to try to do anything else.
Well, how old are you?
32.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's all this stuff where it's just, I can't do anything. I don't have any skills. I've worked at restaurants my whole fucking adult life, and all I know how to do is go in, make someone a substandard gin and tonic, leave, write jokes, and then, you know, yell at people and get yelled at. There's no. What else could I possibly do? Like, my resume is like the saddest thing anyone's ever fucking seen. Like, I can't like imagine, like, you know, 5 years from now being like, fuck, this is a huge mistake. I guess I'll just be a bank manager. Then go in there, and they'll be like, oh, okay, so you've just done nothing but restaurant jobs for the last 15 years. And I'd be like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, let's look you up. Then they look me up, and it's all this bullshit of me on the internet being a dick. They're gonna be like, no, go away. Leave us alone. We're Christians.
They hide the money from you.
Right. So, no, it's...
like, it's all just laying out, and they're just like, don't look at it.
I have purposely backed myself into a corner where this is the only thing I can fucking do, and if I don't do it, I'm going to die. That's, that is the only fucking thing. And it's so screwed.
Like, you're standing.
And it's a horrible decision to make. This is a bad idea.
No, they say... I'm gonna die. They say, you know, not to do something like this, not to live an artistic lifestyle unless you have no other possible idea of what to do. Yeah. Like, if you're like, yeah, I could be this, you should go do that. Like, if this is it, then this is the hard road.
That's it, man. And I've been offered stuff before that I've just been like, no, I'm not going to do that because you see it all the time, man. It's like these people, they're funny and they have something, and then it's like, oh, I got this promotion, or, you know, I'm dating this person, and I just had a kid, or all this stuff, and then they just stop doing it, and you're just like, what do you, how do you go back? How do you, like, how, you know?
Yeah.
You know, oh, you were talking about earlier, your dad, or your grandpa being a cop.
Yeah.
How fucking weird would it be? Your grandpa, you know, he used to be a comedian. Right. Oh, really? Yeah.
Now he doesn't do any of it.
Now he's just some guy who yells at, you know, strangers on the street. That's weird. Like, how do you fucking...
Yeah.
Was he good? I don't know. No idea.
Never talked about it.
You could be a really successful accountant, but if you were a comedian before that, it's sad somehow, you know? Like, oh, you threw away your dreams for numbers.
Yeah, it's one thing if you were just what you're talking about, yeah. You're an accountant who starts doing comedy, but if you're a comedy who starts being an accountant, that's someone different.
Yeah, that's fucked. Hey, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's, fuck you.
Hey,
that's
no,
it's okay. No, just that idea is fucked up.
Oh, I was like, it's okay. Wait, you were an accountant first.
No, yeah, just that you can't.
Are you an accountant?
No. That you can't be a...
Well, then, what are you? No, go.
That you can't be a comedian and then be an accountant. I mean, you can.
Where did you get that shirt?
I'm not saying you can't.
But that's so sad.
That...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That bums me the fuck out, man. And there's a lot of things that bum me out, but that bums me out. And whatever, like, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. It's not for everybody. And
yeah.
If your thing is, like, I'm just going to lead a happy life with a family and all this stuff and also do, like, this cool, weird hobby, then yeah, that's awesome. But that's just not... Nothing else makes me happy. So, like, fucking, you know? Well, I mean, getting drunk.
Sure.
Getting drunk and fucking.
Yeah, everyone likes that, though.
Yeah.
Plug in the munch? What was your
plug name? In the munch? Yeah, what'd you say?
It was plug in jinkum.
Plug
in jinkum. Plug in the munch.
I think plug in the munch could barely pick up more than plug in the jinkum.
That's when you put your fingers in somebody's mouth when you're having sex with them. That's plug in the munch. Did you not? I've never had sex, but I understand that
welcome
that's
to Yes But Why. Plug in the Munch on
93.7 W.
Welcome to Yes But Munch.
Yes About Munch. Gross.
First time caller, second time
muncher.
Oh. I don't want to know what our audience members would have to do to be a muncher.
I know exactly what they'd have to do.
We can call them munchies.
in the cutest, like, munchies.
Right? We're all, like, talking about, like, the dirtiest, grossest shit, and you're like, let's put rainbows on it.
That was so close to being, like, yeah, like, dangerous, and that's called munchies, and everybody hug.
There's that munchies website, the food section of Vice.
Oh.
It's called Munchies.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, in the Lisa episode, when we were talking about how much we like you, she mentioned you were doing something with Vice. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing a couple of years ago. It was called BBQ. Q-U. I don't know how to spell Q.
Oh, like
a line.
Like a line?
It was the conceit was talking to people waiting in line to eat barbecue.
Okay. Oh, cool. How many episodes did you do?
We did three, but they only showed two.
Huh.
So you can see that they valued us highly.
Was the third one in a graveyard?
No. No, it was at Le Barbecue, I believe it's called.
Le Barbecue.
Is that what it's called?
Le
Barbecue. I don't know.
Like, January 6th or something like that.
There's
a bunch of French guys going like,
barbecue.
Here is some brisket.
That's so dumb.
South Carolina barbecue? Oh, no. Texas barbecue.
This is grilled cheese.
Yeah. From La France. Vive La France.
They come to our country. They take our barbecue jobs. I mean, where does it end with the French? How do we stop these people?
What were you doing in Denver? You mentioned being in Denver. Are you traveling? Are you doing, like, road comic stuff? Like, you traveling around? Or are you just at a festival?
No, it was a festival called the Crom Festival. And my sister... I'm not a huge fan of comedy festivals, if I'm being honest. But I was there because my sister lives there. So it was kind of like a vacation to see her and her husband and my godson, who's also my nephew.
Oh.
His name's Ryan. What do you say to that?
You're somebody's godson?
Sounds adorable.
Bro, I'm lousy with god kids. I got a couple.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't buy them stuff? You just gotta buy kids stuff.
You're the godfather?
I'm the godfather. Like, times two.
Like, people just throw babies at you on stage.
I'm kissing babies.
Like,
I'm having the time of my life. I'm kicking them out of rallies. I mean, we're having...
Man, one of your shows goes south and nobody makes it out. You got a lot of babies to account for all of a sudden.
It's rough.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so stressed all the time.
They just bring them to each open mic and they're just like, this could be your responsibility.
Nah, the kids that I'm the godparent to, their parents make they're a lot more successful than I'll ever
be. They're going
to
live a long time.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Ryan and other Patrick, his name's Patrick, they're fine. They'll be okay.
You think so, but my godfather is an actor, and that's why I'm an actor. So you're going to lead them onto comedian roads of iniquity.
In all honesty, I have thought about this, and I've realized that with pursuing comedy or, you know, anything like that, I just know at some point in my life, like my godson, okay, Ryan, my sister's son. My other godson is my friend Brian's son. I know that my sister is going to, like, be talking to him about college and about what to do after college, and the conversation is going to go one of two ways, where it's going to be like, hey, well, you know, one thing to think about, your Uncle Pat, he followed his dreams, and look what happened. Or it's, well, your Uncle Pat followed his dreams, and look what happened.
He's around all the time.
Right.
He lives above the garage.
He's the guy who delivers papers to the 7-Eleven.
He's a guy who, like, cries a lot at night and is, like, kind of good at banjo, but kind of forgot most of it because all he does is tell jokes. Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like this fucking...
All he does is play All by Myself on the banjo.
Oh, shit. Maybe I'll learn that. Just play Rainbow Connection over and over again like a sociopath.
Also, sadly. Like, I'm also imagining you playing it and, like, waiting for your mom to introduce everything, and then you're just silent, and then you go back to blank.
Except, like, dude. This is sort of effigy where you're gonna, like, nod to her.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that very well might happen, too. You know, she's getting up there in age, unfortunately.
Next time your mom's in town, please do some musical stuff.
We did.
I mean, was she here right now?
Well, no, but whenever she comes, we play, like, music open mics and stuff.
Cool. I was like, next time she's in town, tell me. I would love to watch that.
We have recordings of it.
Yeah?
I should send you a record.
Yeah.
Maybe to end the episode, me and my fucking mom.
Yeah, you can put it on there, no problem.
Yeah, she's a peach.
Do you have your own website and stuff? Can people go to, like, patdean.com or something?
I have a Tumblr that I never use. Just find me on Facebook. I put, like, show stuff on there.
Okay, so that's how people can find out what shows you're doing and
go
stuff
to
like
Facebook.com. It's a popular social networking site. The kids love it. Yeah, and just find me, and find, more importantly, find yourself. Yeah? You know what I mean, though? It's like, I feel like, you know, she's got a generation of kids who haven't found themselves. So, hey, Pat Dean here saying, find yourself, and then come to a show. And, but don't say anything nice to me, like Amy does, or I get very weird. What a world we live in.
I was just going to say, like, yeah, they call, like, the World War One generation the lost generation, but they had a war to fight. What do we have?
Yeah. We got me telling jokes, buddy! Come out to Cap City next Tuesday. We're going to tell some jokes.
Yeah,
maybe. Might go wrong.
Is that, like, an always thing? Like, it's always every Tuesday at Cap City?
No.
Okay, because, yeah, this will probably come out.
Like, yeah, it was like, this probably won't come out next Monday.
Yeah, plugs are useless.
Okay, well, then don't go. Then don't go. You know what? Just do what you want to do. I told you. You don't have to go. Just fucking, you know. If you have Netflix, get it. Watch it. And if you don't have it, just tell me. I'll give you my password. The fuck do I care? It's $8 a month. We're at a bar, okay? I make a lot of money.
Do you make a lot of money?
Okay. You do fine.
Not I was weird, like, I only do this, so I don't make any money.
Well, how often do you have to mop floors?
Not so often.
Right. There's that. One time, my friend Gabby
came in. You say with disdain?
Well, she's, you know, I got a lot of stuff to say about Gabby, but she came in with her boyfriend to the bar work at. And I was mopping the floor, and she goes, "Oh yeah, this is Patrick. He makes his living as a comedian." And I was like, "I'm mopping the floor right now. Do you think if I made my living as a comedian, you wouldn't fucking know me? I wouldn't be here."
I mean, it's kind of true though, in the sense, like, I'm making my living, but that's not like in a financial sense.
Oh,
like,
no, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, living this dream.
I'm just living for the city, baby. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever listen to him?
Absolutely. You ever heard of that guy?
Fucking songs.
Speaking of unsighted jazz singers.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to bring it back.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, he kind of transcends jazz, though. He's sort of like his own,
thing.
Yeah,
he also transcends being having a lack of sight as well.
Yeah. He's also just impressive even for a sighted piano player, I think. Like,
yeah,
he's,
pretty much.
Like, he can play harmonica.
He plays the drums.
Yeah.
Plus, his wife is really very attractive.
He's had, like, 9 of them.
He's had 9 very attractive wives.
He doesn't know that.
Has it been 9, or did you just pick a number?
I might have just picked a number. I know that... I don't know. I don't know why I'm disparaging the good name.
Is Stevie Wonder like a bad... Is he just like a terrible husband? Is that like...
Probably.
Maybe they all die.
Yeah.
Maybe they all die under mysterious circumstances.
Pianos fall on their heads.
Oh, shit!
What are we going to find out about Stevie Wonder after he passes away? All the horrible things you find out.
Dude, we're going to find out so much shit about Stevie Wonder when that guy fucking dies.
It just makes me sad because you find out all these things like, oh, is it very recently they like... put out that, like, they found Michael Jackson's, like, browser history and, like, bro was actually looking at kiddie porn sites, so...
No, they found some sort of weird sex room, but I don't think any pedophilic things were linked to it. I think it was just a weird sex room, but I could be wrong.
It's so funny how this man, like... had this stuff that happened, and like he gets accused of it, and so many people are like, but I won't believe it because he's too good. And his music is still permeates to this day. You could play it and it would bring a room full of people of various ages together to be all like, I also love Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But it's like, we have all just agreed to just ignore any possible... It's like, hey, you know what? No. Like, I appreciate even now, like, when I heard about the thing, the sex room or whatever, I was like, oh, man, does that just confirm it? And you just now going like, no, it's just a regular adult man sex room. And it's like, okay, I'll accept that. I would much rather think that than imagine that this man who I...
problem is that he... I don't know that much about it, but evidently the people prosecuting him... It's kind of the OJ thing. Just fucked up. Just dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Real bad. So now you have a bunch of people who can be like, no, he was found not guilty, but all this stuff. Like, they fucked everything up. So
right.
That's why he's able. I think that's part of the reason why people like that are able to half people would be like, yeah, who cares? Because it's like, wasn't convicted. That doesn't always mean anything, but...
It doesn't always mean anything. I mean, if we've learned anything from Stephen Avery, am I right?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
You've never watched Making a Murderer?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it.
Oh, wow. Is it because... Okay, because earlier we were talking about how you prefer reading scary things.
I don't believe in murder.
Okay.
I don't believe
so
it
So you
exists.
Don't watch any Law and Order
I just don't think
kind.
It exists! I've never seen it!
You've never seen a person
no.
being murdered?
So, you know, I'm a man of science. I follow facts, and I've never murdered anyone, and I've never been murdered, so it doesn't exist. Tell me I'm wrong.
You can't
see?
Argue with that logic.
You can't argue? See?
No, that's right.
They call
I'll
me Mr. Logic.
Saying.
Do you know that?
And Mr. Friendship.
Mr. Friendship, Mr. Logic. Well, to be honest with you, they don't actually call me Mr. Friendship. That was a lie, but they do call me Mr. Logic. They really do. No, the reason I haven't watched that show is that I just saw too many articles of people being like, well, this is painted in a different light than it actually was, and that...
oh, sure.
But also the prosecution didn't... the defense, whatever that... The prosecution did not cooperate, so the only people they talked to were the people involved with the defense, mm-hmm. evidently. So, of course, it's skewed towards him being this innocent guy.
Yeah.
Whereas, evidently, there's a lot of stuff they left out. So, no, I haven't seen it. Because I don't want to watch it and be like, this is crazy. And then go online and be like, oh, no, they just fucking lied to us and manipulated our emotions. Michael Moore does that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would say most current, like, documentary-style things. I mean, reality show, we've all accepted that reality shows are not reality. So I feel like documentaries feel like they can take that liberty as well. They're like, well, we're just sensationalizing it to make people want to watch it.
It's bothersome. You're fucking lying to me.
I hear you.
I'm an adult. I pay my own rent.
Yeah.
I'm on floors. I do podcasts.
But I feel like most things are...
Talk to women sometimes.
I'm a little cynical, but I feel like most things are lies.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about the telephone of stories, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just never know. You never know what the real thing is. There's three people going like, no, I swear she said this. And it's like, no, I have record. She said this.
It's weird. Yeah. I don't know what the term is for that, but it's a weird thing that happens where people are like, yeah, then you did that. Like, I know I didn't do that. I know what I did.
Right?
Who do you think you are? I'm confirmed to the Catholic Church. You can't fucking talk to me that way.
Confirmed to the Catholic
You're
yeah,
a godfather.
I'm a godfather! See, you always have my back.
Yep.
That's how we get along.
I got everyone's backs.
Good.
Johnny's taking care of it.
That's how improv works. Yeah, yeah.
It is actually how improv works.
I used to work with a lady named Delia. Maybe you know her. And
what was
one,
her last name? Never mind, don't say it.
I can't pronounce it. I know I was never able to pronounce it. But one time I was at a restaurant, drunk, and I apologize, but I drink, and it was sort of a scandal when people found out. But so
were you working or just there
no,
eating?
No, I don't. I never drink when I'm at work ever. Just ever. I just don't.
Right.
But it was after a show. It's very late at night. It's probably about midnight. Go in, man. What a great show. Let's eat some chicken wings. Onion rings? Let's go crazy. Who do I see sitting there? My friend Delia. Not you, the other Delia. The real Delia.
What the real Delia?
And so, well, she's older than you.
Okay, sure.
Was she, I don't know, how old are you?
How old was she?
I don't know.
I'm 48.
Congratulations.
No.
I actually don't know how old she is, but I guess it's kind of inconsequential. But she is, without a doubt, the real Delia. So I was sitting there. She's there. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. She leaves. I'm sitting there, talking to the people at the table. I'm like, you know, that was Delia, man. I used to work with her. She's like the prettiest woman ever. Everyone we worked with had like huge crushes on her because she was just so like, so beautiful, all this stuff, blah, 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 how pretty she was, blah, 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 blah. Sitting there. Like 7 seconds later, she sticks her head around the corner because she had not left. She was getting to-go food, and they just gave her to-go food. So she's like, all right, see you later, and left.
So you feel confident she heard you saying all these yeah. things. You said nice things.
It was so embarrassing. I knew it would be really funny the next day, but I was beyond mortified. It was, and I know that people can't listen to this, hopefully can't see this. It'd be kind of odd if they could, but from where you're sitting, it's where that door was. That's how far away she was. So that's what, like... 5 feet.
Yeah, if that.
She was 5 feet away, and I'm loud,
and I was drunk.
But you were just saying nice things.
Like, I wasn't being like, bad. I would have fucked that chick in her ass. Or
no,
I wasn't
you were
being,
just like everybody
like,
that,
gross, but,
hey man, that was a girl I work with. Everybody had a crush on her.
Yeah,
she's
but
so
it's
pretty.
That's still embarrassing.
I don't know. I would love to hear that. If I were 5 feet away and after I said hello to somebody, I heard them go like, oh my God, everybody loves her. I'd be
okay,
like,
so the
best
next
day
time,
ever.
So the next time that I see you in public, I'll do that and we'll have a nice little fun time together.
Yeah, turn around and just be like, hey, you want to be my the godfather to my kid?
Oh shit, can I? Yeah. I'm nice. Yeah. I'm cool.
I'm nice. I'm cool.
He buys them stuff.
It's important.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, give me your kids.
Give me your kid. Come on. I can read. I'll
go
read
die.
A book. We'll play.
I'll take care of it.
They're not going to die. I used to be a lifeguard.
The kid.
No, the parents have to die in order for you to be... Like,
yeah,
I
guess that's sort of the tragic underlining of being a godfather.
Yeah.
The constant... that is a weird thing if you think about it. Just the constant reminder of like, oh, this is my godfather. This guy's going to take care of me. My parents fucking die.
You know what,
it's a weird thing to think about.
I'm going to be honest. It never occurred to me until it happened to me. I didn't get married until after my father had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, who's going to walk me down the aisle? My godfather.
Oh, okay.
That's what he was there for. That's his purpose.
Huh.
He was there when my father couldn't. Perfect. Perfect. He did exactly what my father needed to do, but he wasn't there to do it.
When
so he took care of it.
What am I going to do when Ryan gets married? I can't walk him down the aisle, can I?
No, that's not a thing with guys.
Yeah, it's silly. Why?
You can walk him down the aisle.
Hey, this is a post-everything world.
Yeah,
you're right.
Hey, they can make their own wedding.
Yeah,
he can be walked down the aisle.
Ryan, yeah, Amy.
Ryan.
You can do whatever you want.
Dig it over here.
Whatever gender Ryan wants to be,
yeah.
You can walk Ryan down the aisle and do whatever Ryan
like
wants.
A horse down the aisle. Ride on his shoulders.
Why
if you want
can't
to.
I? Oh, because the Amys of the world stepping in the way.
What are his parents going to tell you not to? They're dead.
They're dead. They've been dead for a long time. Fucking believable. You think you know someone, and then it turns out they have a heart filled with hate.
They don't want you to put the saddle you made.
I made the saddle!
Out of his parents.
Out of my parents. Her parents. His parents. Whatever.
Out of Ryan's parents.
Out of Ryan's parents.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Ryan.
Oh, sorry, I care.
You know how lengthy a process
sorry
it is to tan human skin?
It would take so long.
Yeah, and it's just not fun.
Plus the emotional...
Yeah,
this is my sister.
Yeah.
And her husband, he's a pretty cool dude. I mean, he's been fucking my sister for like a decade, but you're like, he's nice. I like him. I should kick that guy's ass.
You
got my sister pregnant, bro!
Don't even tell him anything. Just show up and just beat him up.
I should kick this guy's ass.
And then if he asks you why, just point at Ryan.
Yeah, you fucked my sister. And we all know it. We all know it. I mean, you were married for like 5 years before you had a kid, but still, like, we could have. I don't know.
And now you're gonna make me take care of it if you die?
Yeah, just drunk. God, he'd beat the fuck out of me if we ever got into a fight. He's a nice dude. He's really nice, but he'd beat the fuck out of me. Like, easily. Ryan would laugh at me afterward. That would hurt the most.
Oh, man.
Seeing the, the amusement.
I was gonna let you ride me down the aisle.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
now my real dad.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be a saddle out of you, you fuck.
I'm just gonna...
Oh, my God. Final question. What's your next big goal? What's the next thing you're working on?
To not get my fucking ass kicked by Eric. His name's Eric.
Three more godchildren.
We filmed some stuff for a couple. There's a couple projects that I probably can't talk about that we're working on.
Great.
I have. There's a couple things in the thing. When does this go out? Do you have an idea?
Probably in 2 weeks, like not this Monday, but the Monday after.
So,
I was like,
before the 18th?
Probably. It's okay, you don't have to say, we've all had to sign NDAs for things, so I understand if you can't like talk
about
stuff.
Oh no, I was gonna say that we're doing a fundraiser on the 18th at the Spider House Ballroom. For our friend Monty, who tragically died last year. So we're doing a fundraiser for his kids. He has two kids who are still in college. One of them, I believe, might have graduated. I think his son graduated. But he left behind a wife who has medical needs. So we're doing a fundraiser for that at the Spider-Ass Ballroom at 9 o'clock. We're gonna tell some jokes. I'm going to play the banjo. We're going to have a hell of a time.
That's on the 18th.
On the 18th, on the Thursday. So come out to that, man.
Yeah,
then,
I believe you will be the 15th.
Okay, so yeah, come out
to
it.
Yeah, right on.
That'll work out.
Just come out to it. All right?
Come on.
Come on. What else are you doing? You got time to listen to this? You got a lot of time on your hands, bro.
come hang out. Also, Delia's gonna be there. She's gonna buy everyone a beer. Then I'm gonna be around the corner saying embarrassing things, and she's gonna hear and act like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. That's how all Delias are.
Because I'm a classy lady.
Well, you know, all class.
That's why we all have crushes on you, Delia.
That's why we all... Well, now... now she knows. This is just like a repeat of the first thing.
You didn't
thing.
Even wait till I was by the door.
You should have gotten by the door and
she has
it.
Headphones. You have... We're speaking to a microphone.
That's rude. I'm not going to make you
You're
get up.
You're 2 feet away from me. Okay. How am I supposed to pretend... Fine. We're talking about it. I did a lousy job. You made me go back on my word about it. I don't even...
Where do we go from here?
This is
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good, awkward time to end.
Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Yeah, see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Yes for Why podcast.